This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. In today's program, we begin a new series on the topic of being fearless. We hope you will be encouraged this week as we hear the words of Jesus, who is greater than all our fears.
We're going to spend the next few weeks having Jesus build up our courage in a sermon series we're calling Fearless. I hope you'll stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, Easter is behind us, but the joy and the celebration goes on. Christ is risen. Death is defeated, and nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we worship today, may the words of our risen Savior minister to us and give us great encouragement. We ask this in His name. Amen. Our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. And when Jesus got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" Here ends our reading. Dear friends, we all could use a shot of courage. As you know, life has its scary moments and can be overwhelming, making it hard to be brave. There's a world full of fears out there. I remember as a child being afraid of the dark. Or there are other fears people have, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of finishing last, fear of going broke, fear of getting cancer, fear of getting older, and fear of losing your health. There's so many different kinds of fears. I saw that according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking, and number two is death. One comedian said in regard to that, "Does that sound right to you? That means to the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy." It's humorous, but it's this fear. It holds so many people captive, followers of Jesus as well as non-followers of Jesus. And fear does not offer any life to us whatsoever. Instead, it sucks the joy right out of living. I'm sure you have never made a statement like this: "My phobias put such a spring in my step." Or, "My doctor says if I don't begin fretting, I'll lose my health." We know better. And fear can paralyze you. It can make you unwilling to step out and live adventurously. Think of the high cost of fear when we are paralyzed by it. Bill Hybels, in his book Simplify, talks of a destructive fear, the kind of fear that tricks us into believing beyond what is reasonable that the world is an ominous and dangerous place, and we're paralyzed. And Hybels writes, "History is filled with men and women who said no to this kind of fear and changed the world. But imagine if they had given in to the paralyzing effects of fear on their lives. Imagine the Apostle Paul fearing resistance or rejection, choosing to stay home rather than embarking on the missionary journeys that took the message of Christ throughout the known world. Imagine Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. giving speeches filled with gentle hints about the evils of segregation because he feared pushing too hard. Imagine Rosa Parks during that same era in American history submitting to the bus driver's command to give up her seat to a white person. Imagine Nelson Mandela looking the other way when he witnessed and experienced apartheid in South Africa because he didn't want to make a fuss. And imagine yourself fully aware of the mission and vision God has placed in your heart to advance His kingdom in this world, yet held hostage to fears, irrational worries, phobias about failure and harm and rejection. If you don't fulfill the mission God assigned to you, who will? Hybels writes. Did you know that there are 125 Christ-issued imperatives in the Gospels? Somebody actually has counted them. 21 of them urge us to not be afraid or not fear, or say have courage, take heart, be of good cheer, don't be alarmed. Hearing that, do you get the feeling that Jesus Christ didn't want his followers to live lives that were captive to fear? And that fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our hearts? Well, we're going to take a few weekends and look at some of these passages where Jesus told us not to fear so that we might become more fearless. And our story for today is one of them that I read for you earlier. It's a classic. Jesus has ordered the disciples to get in the boat with him, to go across the Sea of Galilee. It's important for you and I to know that the Jewish folks were basically landlubbers at heart. They left the seafaring business basically to the Phoenicians and the Egyptians. They saw the sea as a dangerous and ominous place. Yeah, there were some fishermen like Peter and Andrew and James and John, but as a whole, they were not crazy about the water, going out on it. So I'm sure as those disciples got into that boat, at least some of them must have been doing it with a bit of hesitation. Well, they go out into the lake, and suddenly a storm comes up in the midst of their trip. The word that's used for the windstorm in this story is the word seismos, from which we get the word seismograph, which is something, as you know, measures earthquakes. This was a huge storm. There was a whole lot of shaking going on. A little reminder, by the way, for us reading this story, that following Jesus does not promise smooth sailing all the time. Anyway, as they're paddling and trying to bail the water out that's swamping the boat, they're on the verge of giving up. And they turn and they see that Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Now, some people will say, scholars, for instance, well, there we see the humanity of Jesus. He was tired after a long day of preaching. I know that feeling after a morning of preaching myself. I like to go home and take a nap. But is that really why Jesus was sleeping? Perhaps there's another reason. Perhaps he was sleeping in the midst of this storm because he had complete confidence that God was in control, that he knew that his hour had not yet come, for which God had sent him into this world. So while the disciples are screaming, Jesus is dreaming, and while the thunder is roaring, Jesus is snoring. Well, they wake him up. Lord, save us! We are perishing! Grab a can and start bailing, Jesus. We're as good as dead. Now, Jesus has a very interesting response to these disciples. When you stop and think about it, he doesn't jump right up and stop the storm. First, he gives a quick little lecture to them. He chides them for their cowardice. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? He said. He was getting after them for their little faith. He's not talking quantities here. He's talking quality. They had a little faith, a baby faith. And it was manifested now as a crisis of trust when the storm hit. Think about this. They had already seen some amazing things that he was capable of doing. Healings, feeding people, even bringing a little girl back to life, casting out demons. They seem to have forgotten all these things. It's funny how fear can create a kind of a form of spiritual amnesia in us, and we forget what our Savior is capable of. And think about it. If he truly is the Messiah, as they believed, would God allow his Messiah to drown in the sea before he accomplished his purposes with Jesus? Back in Matthew 6, we know that Jesus had taught them about a heavenly Father who loves them, who knows their needs. They had heard Jesus say, "Don't worry about things so much. He knows exactly what you need. He cares for you just like he cares for the sparrows. Even more so, though." I heard someone once remark about this story. The disciples had faith in Jesus, but not the faith of Jesus in his heavenly Father. Jesus knew that this sea in which they were experiencing this storm, it was but a puddle in his Father's hand. After the quick lecture, for which I'm sure the disciples were grateful it was short, Jesus stood up in the boat and he rebukes the sea and it became calm immediately. Note that word rebuked. It's the word that's used when Jesus is doing battle with evil. He rebuked Peter when he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus rebuked the demons that cried out to him. Perhaps we're getting a bit of an image here of a spiritual battle that's taking place, an attack on Jesus Christ to snuff him out before he could get to that cross. Anyway, Jesus wins. The power of Jesus overwhelms the storm and it becomes calm. And then the ending of the story is basically the climax. The disciples go, "Who is this? Who has such authority even over the power of nature?" When you think about it, friends, that's the ultimate question. Who is this? Who is he, this Jesus? It's a faith question. Jesus is setting faith over against fear in this episode as he chides those disciples for their little faith. Who is this Jesus in your life? That's a question for you. How do you regard Jesus? It's all very well to say in church or in our private devotion that he's the Son of God, the Lord, the Messiah, or whatever. But do you actually view him and treat him as if he's got authority over every aspect of your life and your world? What if faith, not fear, was your default reaction to the threats and challenges in your life? Because that's what Jesus is encouraging in this story. Trust me, trust my power, trust God's goodness and his care for you. Trust, have faith. So, in this world that's so filled with storms and challenges and so on, how do I grow as a follower of Jesus a fearless faith? Well, first of all, I need to keep walking with Jesus and learning from him along the way. Those disciples, they didn't jump out of the boat when they hit the other shore and run back home. They stayed with Jesus and they heard him speak to some of their fears. They heard him again and again talking about the various things that we do fear in life, and he showed them his greatness and the power of God, and he showed them his wisdom and so on, and they were beginning to grow and learn to trust him. That's what we're going to do for these next few weeks, is spend some time with Jesus and let him speak to us in some of these gospel stories. So you keep tuning in and listening, but I want to encourage you to do more than that, to be daily in his word. Those disciples live with him daily. Read a chapter a day of the Gospels. of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Live with him. Let him show you who he is and how smart he is and how strong he is and how faithful he is, so you can learn to trust him and stand on the promises even during the toughest times. Second, pray. That's novel, isn't it? Peter learned that we could, as he says in one of his letters, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Peter's speaking from personal experience. By the way, there's a lot of grace in this story. Jesus was disappointed with them, sure, but he does not abandon them to their fears. He assists and sustains them. He answers their cries as they call to him for help. We can call on him for help and learn that he answers. We can call out to him, Lord, help me to see this situation with eyes of faith. How's your prayer life these days? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? You've heard that saying, haven't you? You know, it is our choice. We can allow our fears to make us its victims, or we can challenge fear to work for us by driving us to a deeper dependence on our Heavenly Father in prayer. And finally, remember Easter. Lo, I am with you always, were the last words of Jesus to those disciples on the mountaintop. He's with us. I'm so glad, aren't you, that Jesus is in the boat with me at all times, whether it's smooth sailing or not, to call upon. You've heard of a fellow named John Newton, haven't you? He wrote that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. Well, he wrote a lot of other hymns as well, and I came across one that has to do with this particular episode in Jesus' ministry. It refers to it. It goes like this. Be gone, unbelief, my Savior is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. That's Christ's vision for you and me. To smile through the storm, to make us fearless, hanging tough, so that we might do great things for him and his cause in his world. Don't be afraid. He's in the boat with you today, no matter what you're facing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you know the fears that sometimes lurk in our hearts and take over our lives. Help us to trust in your promises and smile at the storm. As we live in your word, reading a chapter of those gospels each day, may we become more and more fearless as we follow the living, present Jesus Christ the rest of our days. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you, and he will. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped to make you fearless and hang tough through the storm so you might do great things for Christ and his cause in this world. Christian Crusaders is celebrating 80 years of ministry to our world with the gospel of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are very grateful to God for his blessings upon this ministry, as well as to our faithful listeners who support us with your prayers and financial gifts. If you have a prayer request or would like to make a financial donation to help support Christian Crusaders, please send us a note at Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or send us an email at cc@naz.org. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard on 30 radio stations in 12 states across the United States, as well as shortwave across North America and Europe, satellite Roku and Imani Radio in Katela, Kenya. You can also find us at christiancrusaders.org and on Facebook. Please take a moment and look us up. To request copies of today's program, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or visit our website at www.christiancrusaders.org. Gifts of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs are always appreciated. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting the service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.